We're a church on display. And what's on display right now is flexibility, freedom, humility, submission, all sorts of things. Rubber meet in the road right here for your demonstration. Before it got really, really long, I was thinking in my mind, like, hey, listen, you can't put a clock on revival, right? You really can't. And as much as a team, as a leadership team here, we're trying to be sensitive and aware of people's schedules and their time and not make it go long, that is literally a necessary evil in our minds, right? In this sense, meaning, if God moves, if God breaks out, who says, that's a little too long, I gotta go? I got dinner to make. I got family time. Like, whatever. I'm being serious, guys, because we'll cry out and pray for revival until it actually happens and then disrupts our lives. And then we're like, what? Can't we have revival in a 2-hour window? In all seriousness, listen, we live in America. I understand the punctuality thing and the clock thing and the schedule thing and the efficiency thing, but I'm just telling you in all sincerity, when God moves and God breaks out, he doesn't consider those things. They're not. There's sacrifice to be had. There's concessions to be made. There's when you spend hours preparing a message and you come up to do a teaser. Things like that that are adjusting and moving and shaping. So anyway, that's the teaser. Be ready for that. Be ready for that. Be ready for longer times of being together, worshiping Jesus in spontaneous and fluent ways for God to move, to God break out. I was over in that corner during worship and wondering if the swelling in my eyes was going to go down enough for me to preach before it was time for me to preach. The way like God was moving and my heart was engaging with him in intercession and prayer and I was seeing God move. And then I began to pray for someone who lives with me, like to see Jesus. He's lived in 6 years. He's a hardcore atheist. And I just began to see in my mind him standing with us worshiping, right? And that type of like interactive, experiential intercession of hope. And the only words that kept resonating in me was, when did my arm become too short? Right? When did my arm become? That's what God said to Moses when Moses was doubting that God could do something that was too difficult in his eyes. And God literally said, when did my arm become too short, Moses? I just split an ocean and rescued you from Egypt with 10 massive plagues. You don't think I can send enough meat? Right? And he's saying, I came down from heaven, took on the form of a man, and saved humanity. You don't think I can rescue one young, confused, hurt soul? Anyway, that's what was resonating. I mean, this morning when I got up, which I did something unprecedented for me, I didn't stay up late to think of the message. I went to bed early and got up early to prepare a message. Revolutionary stuff. But I was up alone, and like the sun wasn't up yet, and I was confused. That's a new experience for me. And I just put on some worship, and this song called Christ Be Magnified began to just resonate in me. And I started getting all swollen-eyed again, you know, in the prayer time over this idea of Christ be magnified in me. And what that would take, right? And the teaser to the message, like, here's the teaser. I haven't come up with a title for the message yet, but if I was going to come up with one for next week, the message's title would be, The Lord Our God, He is One. Right? He's one. And there's a lot of powerful stuff in there. You're just going to have to trust me or wait or show up next week ready. But when Sean was doing the exhortation about souls and stuff, and I was like fully engaged in it, I'm tracking with them, I'm like, yes. The only thought I kept thinking of was like, aside, I was like, yes. I was, you know, doing what my brain does, which is like, okay, I'm trying to track where Sean's tracking, and I know the Lamwell Souls is kind of like the prophetic vision statement here, And I know that he's already feeling like super confident that the wealth is already on its way, right? And so since he's always just flying ahead, the wealth thing's like checked off practically in his mind in terms of what God's doing. It's already been sent. All right, it's in the mail. Great, on to the next thing. And that's souls, right? And you can see kind of the groundswell moving towards that direction in this souls thing. And I just like, yes, he who saves souls is wise, right? We're on a mission, and that mission is to win souls with Jesus, right? And I chose that word with specifically because we're not winning souls for Jesus, right? We don't win souls. But he's invited us along on this mission as he saves souls to be part of it so that with him we can save souls with him. And that's the mission. And she got Landwell souls where see God fulfilling his promise in a very real way. We're living biblical stories out in real time. Do you understand? Prophetic words from God given, trust in that, and we're seeing them come to pass. If the Bible was open-ended, this would be the next story in it. That's the reality of where we're at. So, but my only thought was like, man, do we have groundwork to do? Like, really, I wrote in my note, even this is the precursor is literally what I just thought would be the preface to my message. Because I was responding to what was happening, I said, let me throw this preface together. So, see, it's sovereign. I said, but man, do we have groundwork to do, right? Because, listen, every great revival that's ever happened has been a revival of holiness. Of holiness. And the Bible says this, that without holiness, no one can see the Lord. Without it, you are blinded to who he is. You're blinded to it. It is a prerequisite to see it, which is why he is the one who does that work in us. And we have to surrender to that work of holiness that he does in us, making us holy as he is holy, right? And it's like C.S. Lewis who said, this is what I'm saying, like with holiness allows our paradigm to shift. If we can begin to see what holiness is and see through the eyes of his holiness, what's required of us and what he gives us the ability to fulfill through his spirit, who says that we can do anything through him who strengthens us to do these things, right? So it's not of works that any man can boast. It's simply through faith in the sovereign work of God and the holiness he gives us. So C.S. Lewis said, I believe in Christianity and holiness as I believe in the sun, not only because I see it, but also because by it I see all things, right? So picture that. It's important for you to get what C.S. Lewis meant here for you to understand the power of the holiness paradigm, perspective, lifestyle, how we view things. We can see holiness and believe, yes, holiness is real and it's valuable. But until we see everything by it, through it, we can't see the Lord. We can't see who he is. We can't see what he's like. We can't see what he wants. We can't know his will. And so we're left with man-made efforts or works to try to accomplish it or try to accomplish anything. And guess what works do? They fail. So we can't. We need the eyes of holiness to be able to see it. So this is the challenge. Last quote, and then that's it because I've given you the precursor for next week. Listen, next week is going to be a message on hope, but not at all like you would expect hope to sound like. Do you understand? It's biblical hope, which requires death, right? There is no hope in the Bible without death. You can't do it. You don't get to circumvent the narrow way and still get in. But there's great hope in that. Here's a little secret. It is our only hope is that. So, in this sense, this is a quote from William Booth. He said it a little over 100 years ago. He was in the 19th century when he said this. Guys, that's old. That's 1800s. Okay? And he said this as a prophetic message from God. He said, the chief danger of the 20th century, which still continues today, right? Not the century, but the danger. The chief danger will be religion without the Holy Spirit. Each one of these lines is a message all on its own, but I want you to get it. The chief danger will be religion without the Holy Spirit. That's like doing church, but without listening to what the Holy Spirit wants to say and do. It's like trying to live the Christian life without waking up every day and saying, Holy Spirit, what are we doing? He said it would be Christianity without Christ. To me, that's rampant within Christianity, is this Christianity but without Christ. Not because they don't still confess Christ, but that the Christ they confess is a golden calf that they've called Christ. Forgiveness without actual repentance. We actually believe this is the reality, that we can receive forgiveness without actually turning away from the sin we need to be forgiven for. We think just cyclical, constant, cyclic sin, and that we feel bad about it and do it again, should be forgiven, when what's missing there is actual repentance. The actual willingness to cut off a limb or pluck out an eye in order to be rid of the thing that will drag your soul to hell. That's what the end of repentance looks like, to be done with sin. But we think that there should be forgiveness even without that. It's a chief danger. Scriptures warn against it. Salvation without actual regeneration, meaning transformation, change of who you were. Heaven without hell. That's it. Here's my favorite line from the message. I'll give you this and that's it. And then I'm literally passing the mic, right? Because that would go along with it. I said this when I was writing notes. You'll hear it again next week. But I was on Facebook. I saw a post from one of my relationships on there. And it was a meme and it said, when God gives you lemons, ... get a new God. It's just the most obliviously ignorant statement in the world, right? Or another post from a very different relationship online that said, and it showed list all these atrocities in the world, and said, if this is the definition of God, of a good God, then I don't want that God. Okay, again, you think you have a choice, right? That's the broken paradigm. But this is what I said. I said, Israelites, and I said, this is in the church too. This isn't just my atheist friends online. This is in the church, this mindset. And I said, Israelites rejected God as he really is, but accepted him as a golden calf. Think about that. Go back and read that story in Exodus in preparation for next week, okay? Look at it. See how God revealed himself fully who he is and how the Israelites responded. But then, how they respond to the golden calf that they call their Lord. Done.
You got it. The new thing around here is you just say, the end.
The end.
That was a magnificent bow, Steve. When I say that, I mean God spoke to us many things. Scriptures, truths. And we prayed through a lot of those things. And then Steve just shared and put it all together. You know, and I think that's the role when we really experience a service like a revival type service like this, where God breaks in and we begin to pray and then his presence comes and then moves on our brother's heart. And just like, you know, he could care less giving this eloquent prayer. He just was like, it was like groanings, like, it was like screamo prayer, where he was just like, like groanings from the bottom of his heart, you know? And it was so genuine and so just full of fire and conviction. And it was beautiful. And then, you know, we talk about authentic Christianity and we see mission taking place of our income and what we give, which is only going to increase. When wealth comes, it is not. So we build a new building. I believe that's going to happen too. But it is, our goal is the nations including the United States of America, but the nations, the globe, spreading the gospel to souls all over the place, black, yellow, red, and white, all different colors and combinations, human beings on the face of the earth. So, hallelujah and amen, the end.